Hello, it's Richard Land for Set for Success, where we discuss what you need to do to be successful in your business, your career, and your life. Do you remember a time as a child of placing a book on your head and trying to walk up straight? Often we maybe would compete with our friends to see how far we could go with that book on our heads. Or maybe our friends would make us laugh and the book would fall down. Here's another maybe. Maybe you were checking for good posture. Heck, I am sure that you even heard that at the dinner table from your parents. You, sit up straight. Make sure you're sitting up straight. It's good for you. Stop rolling your shoulders. You might hurt yourself. I bet you, some of us, the listeners, you have your parents' voice, and you say that to your kids. Sit up straight. I suspect we've heard many things at the dinner table, even maybe at the work table, so to speak, the meeting room. How about this one? Eat your vegetables. Oh, man. I think I heard that one a lot when I was a kid. And I say that to my kids. And you know what the funny thing is my kids are now teenagers and young adults, and I'm still telling them to eat their vegetables. Wow. I guess we deal with it in different ways. Maybe if we can apply that to our working environment. You know, I remember a time when I was working for an organization that we talked about what we would do to actually create a healthy work environment. So we decided to play around, and we played with Wednesday. I don't know if you know Wednesday, but Wednesday is hump day. It's the halfway between the week, and we decided to make it the fresh fruit day instead of hump day and see what would happen to employees. And so we brought in fresh fruit and instead of, you know, like the donut day, which is usually Friday. So we brought in fresh fruit, and we had a fruit day, a happy fruit day. That was a healthy thing, and we found out that staff actually really started to enjoy it. They actually started looking forward to Wednesday where they would get all this fresh fruit and everything brought in. It was actually quite an interesting thing to do. We also did something else. We eventually decided to put water coolers in the meeting rooms to see what would happen. And you know, to our surprise, people drank more water. Okay, we did another thing. We took the coffee makers out of the meeting room and put those in a corner somewhere. So people still had their coffee, but they were drinking more water. Guess what happened? You can imagine that eventually, as our business expanded, actually, we decided that we'd start making some changes to our environment a little bit. So we invested in some desks and chairs that were a little bit more people-friendly, where people could, you got it right, sit up straight or sit the appropriate way for their working environment. So we played around a little bit with the working environment and the diet of the people at the time. We did this in our meeting rooms, too. We eventually created some stand-up meeting space where people could actually leave their desks, go stand up and have a meeting and everything, short meetings, and then go back to work and everything. Interesting thing that happened. We actually found that our productivity increased and some of our health costs went down when we started doing these little tiny changes within our work environment. We also discovered that it really started to create an interesting cultural vibe, you know, sort of a place where people wanted to hang out. This all started with good planning. It started with a situation where we put it into part of our strategic plan and started to develop into a further healthier place. Now, if you've been listening to me for a while, you'll know that I'm a health enthusiast. So I'm into, you know, eating right and taking care of my body and being active and all of those things. And I always wish that for clients too, for their business, their careers, and their life. So you can guess what we're going to talk about today. I guess it is really more of a question. What can you do to create a healthy working environment for your organization? That's the question. And we're going to look to answer that with our guests, Marnie Courage, Enabling Access, welcome to the show, and also Karen Inslee, RPE Fitness, Inc., Nutrition. And we'll hear a little bit more about them right now, actually. So hello, everybody, and welcome to the show.
Hi, Richard. How are you?
Hi, Richard.
Yeah. So, Marnie, I always like to start off, hopefully I'm getting your name correct. I always like to start off a little bit about yourself tell us a little bit about yourself personally for the listeners.
Sure, Richard. Thanks very much. I'm a Winnipegger, grew up in Winnipeg, and went to high school here, went to University of Manitoba to take my psychology degree. Then I went on to take my occupational therapy degree at the School of Medical Rehab downtown. So I did that and started my family a little bit later in life at just around 40, actually.
Okay.
And now we have a lovely little 3-year-old and a 10-month-old. So all of this was going on while I was developing my business and creating my business. So a busy last 10 years for sure.
No doubt about it. And introducing young kids. My wife and I sometimes joke around that we've had two families because I have a 27-year-old and a 15-year-old.
Right.
And so I had my now 15, probably around, you know, your age with your younger kids. So we get that. Kids young, kids older, it's lots of fun. Now, Karen, you know, again, welcome to the show. Could you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Obviously, as people will listen to my accent, apparently I have one. I'm not actually a native Winnipegger. I'm coming into my 12th year of being here in Winnipeg. A lot of people say, what brought you to Winnipeg? And we always say a big aeroplane. So we... I would love it when we get asked that one. I originally went to university to study nutrition, food manufacturing preparation diploma, actually got out of the industry and ended up becoming an accountant of all things. I got told I was too creative to be an accountant. When we moved to Winnipeg, we kind of did the same jobs that we did in England, and then we retrained in the health, fitness, nutrition industry. So I've been doing this since 2007. So I work with, obviously, a lot of people who are keen about their weight. Me personally, I like to keep active, eat healthy. So does my husband.
That's all part of your business format.
Exactly.
And everything too, your own personal life.
I have a cat and a shoe fetish.
Okay, so what's the shoe fetish?
I just buy the highest shoes that you can possibly imagine. And my mum asks me how I walk in them. And I'm always like, I don't care. I look great in them.
And so. great in shoes. Out of curiosity, Marnie, do you have a particular hobby that you like to invest in?
The hobby? Investing in time with my family at the lake. That is my hobby. My hobby is any time that I can spend away from, you know, separating my work brain from my home brain. And turning it off and getting off the grid for a little bit.
Getting
fantastic.
Off the grid.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it is actually a really good thing to do to get off the grid and how you actually go about that. I think you're actually a camper, isn't it, Karen?
I am. We had 9 days in Beresford Lake, totally off the radar. So we love camping, just getting away from everything.
Perfect. You know what? This is Richard Lannan. You're listening to Set for Success. And we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about what you can do to create a more healthier organization. We'll be right back. Hello. We're here talking on Set for Success. And it's Richard Lannan. We're talking about what you can do to have a healthier organization and how can actually be part of your sort of planning process. And so my guests today are Marnie Courage from Enabling Access and Karen Inslee from, what was the name of your company again, Karen?
It's actually RPE Fitness Inc.
RPE
Fitness
Inc. We'll get back to that in just a second.
Okay.
Now, Marnie, I was just curious about your organization and maybe what we want to do and start off with is just tell people a little bit about what you guys do, who you are and what you guys do.
Sure, yeah. So we're a foundation of an occupational therapy company is how we originated as an occupational therapist, helping people be as independent as possible in any environment. So whether it be work, home, with productivity, self-care. And we work in a lot of environments. It can be in hospitals, in workplaces, helping people at home be able to cook meals, bathe safely, that kind of thing.
Those kind of things. Now, you used the word ergonomics.
That's right.
Maybe it'd be really good to actually explain what ergonomics means.
Yeah, so part of what we do for workplaces is injury prevention. And with injury prevention, a big focus is ergonomics. And if you think of ergonomics, Richard, you were talking earlier about sitting up straight and using the right body mechanics. And really, ergonomics has evolved to really be thinking about how you can change your environment and the work to actually match the person doing that work. And if you think about it that way, the furniture that you choose, you know, when we grew up in schools, we all had the same size chairs, the same size desks, yet everybody wasn't the same height, weight, all of those, you know, different segments. So we're looking at designing the workplace now with furniture and actually designing the work that we do to better match employees so that they're preventing injuries. So workplaces have a real vested interest in learning more about ergonomics, investing in ergonomics training and really looking at how people do that work.
I'm interested in a comment that you just made. You said we're really looking at the way people do their work as
Absolutely.
Opposed to the now so that sounds as opposed to the opposite as opposed to the furniture that they need.
That's right. There's two things we're looking at.
Yeah.
So you're looking at really wanting to know the work. I always say we got to know the work before we assess the risks.
Okay.
So we go into workplaces, industrial workplaces and office settings, and we're looking at how do people do that work. So if we're thinking about a construction worker and they're shoveling and they're lifting, pushing, pulling, we measure those forces actually to see what are the forces on the body and how can we lessen those forces on the body to make it more comfortable work and to prevent injury. And then in the office setting, Richard was talking about the desks and the furniture. Well, that's where we're looking at how do you do your work sitting here at your table, Richard? You know, are you leaning over? Are you reaching a lot? Are you perched on your chair? Or, you know, are you doing a lot of writing or computer work? That's how you do the work. Then we start looking at how to assess the risk factors associated with that work.
Now, do every individual have separate risk factors? Is it very unique to the individual? I guess that's my question.
Right. Absolutely. What we have is risk factors that are inherent with every job that you do. So if you think about static postures, meaning you're either sitting or standing for a long time, forceful exertions, pushing, pulling, that kind of thing, repetition, those inherently come with most jobs. But what you bring to the table is actually your own individual health. And this is what we're targeting, the human factors involved with the work. How can you bring your health or the health that you bring to your work? How can that either increase your risk factors or reduce your risk factors with getting a musculoskeletal injury?
Oh, sorry. Could you repeat that word
Absolutely.
Again? Muscular?
A musculoskeletal injury, otherwise known as an MSI.
Okay.
And that's really our target with ergonomics is looking at reducing MSIs in the workplace, either office or industrial. And helping employers and safety managers mitigate those risk factors.
Can you provide us an example of maybe a client that you've worked with where you've been able to do that?
Sure, absolutely. I'm thinking about a production line, one of the manufacturers here in Winnipeg. We've got local manufacturers. And if you think about the nature of the work on an assembly line, very repetitive. And these folks are, not the same height and not the same, don't come with them the same health. And they're all doing the same job. So each individual would have different risk factors in that job. So what I did do was we analyzed those jobs. Those are called job demands analysis.
Okay.
We're able to analyze those jobs, help the employer identify the risk factors, whether it's, the bodily risk factors or you're talking about the environmental risk factors or the nature of the work. And then we put together customized training. So it's using that task analysis and then coming to the group with a customized training that shows them. They're up on the screen. They see themselves do the work. And we explain to them the why it's important to take stretching or movement breaks from very repetitive work that they're doing and how that can help them maintain the health of, say, their back.
Sure. I think I understand that a bit because I've done a lot of keyboarding in my life.
Yeah.
And I'm able to type 60 words a minute or so. And I tell you, I've had to do some stretching to sort of avoid some injuries.
Right.
I think there's another part of your business, though, too. I mean, this case here, we're talking about assessment and sort of predetermined and avoidance by the sounds of it. But what happens in the situation where, you're now working with people that have already have injuries? Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, I can, Richard. And actually, that's how I started this business is the rehabilitation side of things. So as an occupational therapist, we work closely with other medical professionals in helping people who have been injured or are born with an injury or a disability to increase their functional independence. And that's how I started the business. It was people, I found a lot of people with disabilities were waiting for public health services and were on wait lists. And that's where I came in as a private practice occupational therapist and said, I can help you out. There is no wait list, but you got to pay. That's the difference, unfortunately. So I started the business by helping those folks that are on wait lists for public services. And in doing that, grew my business to need more than just me, of course. And so now I've got 6 occupational therapists, 2 physiotherapists, and a vocational rehabilitation specialist. And that team, we work together multidisciplinary to help people who have injury or illness or disability to get back to the job of living. So whether it be their work, get back to the leisure interests that they enjoy. We developed an adaptive yoga video for folks who have various disabilities, which has been really popular and available online. So those things, and looking at, we also have a brain injury program. And so working with people with traumatic brain injury, helping them to restore function back in their lives. So that side of the business has really brought the knowledge and the experience that I needed to the prevention side to help workplaces with, hey, look, I know what it's like on the other side. So helping them recognize those risk factors would
risk
be important.
Factors. It sounds like you're doing a lot of really important work. You know what? We're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we're going to continue to talk about, with our experts, what you need to do to be have a more healthy organization. This is Richard Lannan, and we'll be right back. Hello, it's Richard Lannan for Set for Success, where we discuss what you need to do to be successful in your business, your career, and your life. Today, we're talking about it from an organizational perspective, a health perspective. And the question that we're asking is, what can you do to create a healthy working environment for your organization? And I guess the next logical question is why is that important? And what does it mean to your organization? What is the results going to be? Because ultimately, we want some outcomes, don't we? Think about it. What would happen if you had a healthier working environment for your people? People maybe sat better or had better equipment to work with, and we dealt with the ergonomics of the organization, or maybe there was some kind of fitness and nutrition that was involved. Just think about that. Well, that's what we're talking about today with our experts, Marnie Courage of Enabling Access and Karen Inslee from RPE Fitness. We've been talking about that from a number of different perspectives. And we're also going to do, when we come back, the Set for Success tips and thoughts, the things you must do in your organization to be successful. In this case here, from a health perspective, this is Richard Lannan, and we'll be right back. Hi, it's Richard Lannan. We're back. We're talking to Karen Inslee of RPE Fitness, Inc., and nutrition. I'm even going to throw that word nutrition in there, Karen.
Thank you, Richard.
I had the opportunity in the first segment of the show to actually welcome you to the show. So let's welcome you back to the show for segment two. How's that sound?
Sounds great.
It sounds great. So, you know, the first thing we want to do is actually, since we've been talking about ergonomics and we've been talking a bit about fitness and health and everything, we want to get the listeners to know a little bit about your company and what you do. Could you explain to us what RPE Fitness Inc. is all about?
Okay, I actually wish that I had a 20-second elevator pitch, because myself and my husband, Richard, actually wear many hats. My premise within the business is I give clients the why of nutrition. And what I mean by that is it's okay people coming to me because they're overweight, they need to lose some weight, they're sleeping poorly, they need to improve their fitness or nutrition habits, but it's not just a case of telling them, do this, don't do that. You're overweight because there's something happening underneath the hood. Being overweight isn't actually a problem. It's just the symptom of a metabolic imbalance. And we look under the hood to see why your body is holding on to that weight. And if you understand what's happening with your body, then you're more likely to actually commit and keep sustainable dietary and lifestyle habits, whether it's nutrition or fitness. And I just want to give you an example, Richard, sure, with regard to the why of nutrition. So I'm not sure what the details are of a radio host such as yourself, but if your boss came into if your boss came into you after myself and Marnie leave today and say, Richard, you've done this job in this particular way for the last 20 years. As of tomorrow, I want you to do it this way. And you look at your boss and they say, and you say, why? And your boss says, because I say so. You're going to be like, okay, doesn't kind of make sense to me. So if your boss, if you turn around to your boss and he said, well, Richard, it's going to take an hour off your day, you're going to be able to get out of the office earlier. If he gives you the why of why you want the changes, he wants the changes being made, then that's what I do with nutrition. You understand the reasons that we're asking you to make particular changes to your habits.
Yeah. Well, the questions what and why are so important questions, because, I mean, it's interesting when I'm working with clients, I often say to them, the what and why questions are your strategic questions. The how, who, when, and how much are your tactical things. And so often if you can answer the what and why, especially the why,
exactly,
you have the potential for greater success.
It is. It's more sustainable if people understand. I work with a lot of clients one-on-one. I work typically a lot with clients who have been diagnosed as clinically obese. So I've helped clients successfully lose 100 plus pounds.
You use a lot of terms. So yes. What is clinically obese? What does that mean?
It's when your BMI and body fat level are at a certain level.
BMI,
body mass index.
Body mass index.
And your body fat percentages are at such a percentage that your doctor usually is the one that will clinically diagnose you as obese.
What is then that's an interesting question. What percentage is considered obese?
Usually it's around 34% and upwards.
34% body fat or more is considered clinically obese. Now, in businesses today, how do we find, like, you know, I work with a lot of clients, and I guess, you know, from a nutritional perspective, mm-hmm. how healthy are organizations?
Organizations try to promote healthy habits for their staff. But what I try to get the employers to look at is the angle of productivity and the fact that through strategic nutrition choices and changes, you can actually improve your bottom line. Food has such a horrendous, like, negative, like, effect on our bodies from a health and fitness perspective. If your employees are constantly tired because of the wrong nutrition choices, they have poor dietary habits, and they're not sleeping properly. Marnie touched on something that I wanted to bring up with regard to the health and safety. Sugar. It's a poison. Sugar will make you stupid. I had an article published a few years ago. Sugar is actually harder to get off than any other.
I was actually reading something in a medical journal on the internet that basically said sugar is like a drug. It's no different than it's it has an addictive quality to it. And the more you have, the more you want.
It does. And there's so many foods that contain sugar. It's not just candy. It's not just like chocolate bar, fruity sugar, bready sugar, pasta sugar, certain starches. It's all sugar. That's how your body interprets it. And it can affect, obviously, your cognitive ability, your focus. It can create fogginess in your head if you're not concentrating correctly. I actually teach with Catherine Sawatsky from the Urban Wellness Center in City Place through Red River College, a nutrition and fitness for shift workers. And we actually present to them. I do the nutrition portion. Yep. She does the fitness portion of it. And again, going back to that why of nutrition, I explain to the students, this is what's happening to your body on a 24-hour period. That's going to happen to your body regardless of whether or not you're at work or whether you're at sleep. So with shift workers, they are having to work when their body's telling them that they need to sleep, and they need to sleep when their body's telling them they should be awake. Certain foods can help get around that aspect of it. And I actually teach them what's happening to their body, what foods they can use to manipulate their work day and also to help them sleep better as well. And going back to the workplace, just even if you're not working shifts, you can look at how foods affect your body, how your body digests it. And your body actually digests 100 calories of sugar different than it digests 100 calories of protein. So a lot of people go on crazy weight loss diets and 100 calorie bars that apparently they're going to lose weight. So what your body does, 100 calories of sugar, your body will probably uptake about 95 of those calories. If you eat 100 calories of protein, your body will take on about 70 of those calories.
So in essence, of contributing to gaining weight.
Exactly, yeah.
Too. Okay. This is Richard Lannan for Set for Success. And we're going to take a short break. When we return, we're going to talk about health in the workplace and what we can do to have a healthier workplace. And what we're going to do is we're going to do the Set for Success tips and thoughts, the things you must do in your organization to create a healthy organization. We'll be right back. Hi, we're back, and we're talking about the Set for Success tips, thoughts, and tricks, if you want to call it tricks, but I think it's more tips and thoughts, the things we must do in our organization to be successful or in our careers or our life. Now, today we're posing it from a very specific question. What do we need to do to create healthy organizations? Well, that's fair enough. And do you know what the what and why is? And then having it on sort of, I guess, your strategic agenda, just making sure it's part of your organization and making it tactical. When I say tactical, I mean executable, things that you can do. Okay, and I think that's probably a realistic thing to look at. So my first question goes to Marnie. Marnie Courage, what would be one of your thoughts, one of the things you could share with our listeners about creating a healthy organization from your perspective?
Yeah, well, from an ergonomic perspective, absolutely, we want to be thinking about how you can get your employees to be moving more in their day. So if you've got a static position job, meaning you're sitting or you're standing to do that work, how can we break up that work or reduce the exposure to that work throughout the day without decreasing the productivity? Because that's going to be your boss's number one concern about the productivity, but also keeping you safe. So we're looking at...
Do you have an example of what you might be able to do?
So we're looking at in introducing movement into the day. So if you're at a desk, it's not just about, oh, you need to take a bunch of breaks. It's about strategically planning some breaks in your day, maybe even set your auto alert on your Outlook every 20 minutes to get up and move.
I know some people are wearing those watches now that say stand up.
Is that what they're called, fit bracelets?
Those
are really fantastic. So it measures how much time that you're sitting or how much time you're spending staying still. Because one of the things that happens, and knowing the why here is really important, is thinking about your circulation slows down, your digestion slows down. So all of those systems that may get compromised in sitting, you need to get some respite from that. You need to move. You need to let your digestive system work. You need to be able to get your blood flowing. You don't want to pinch any nerves by sitting in a chair.
I understand some organizations are introducing desks that are standing desks, or they can push a button and they go from the sitting position to standing. Is that something you're seeing more often?
We're seeing a lot of those, but there's much more cost-effective ways to get that same result. So instead of investing in a really expensive electronic desk that raises and lowers, think about the tasks that you're doing. Are there some tasks you can do while you're sitting at your desk, and are there some that you could do, say, at a counter height? So if there's a counter height in your workplace or if you're working from home, thinking about where you're standing. Stand to do the reading task. Maybe stand and put your laptop on the counter.
Kitchen
surface.
Counter.
Yeah, and then alternate those positions. Again, it's not so much about stopping to do the work, stopping productivity. You can continue productivity from different positions.
Just incorporate it in what you're doing. Karen, how about yourself? Could you provide our listeners a little bit of a tip?
Yeah, I don't want to repeat anything that I've already said, but I mentioned our circadian clock, and 3 points during a 24-hour period, our body temperature drops. And when our body temperature drops, so we actually start to become sleepy. And so I'm sure you guys have probably experienced it and seen other people in an afternoon. They get
siesta time right after lunch. I want to sleep, man.
If that happens, you are perfectly normal. But sometimes that can be factored in from the dietary choices that you've had at your lunchtime as well. So if you've had a high starch lunch, high sugars, and your body temperature starts to drop, then your staff are going to become very, very tired.
Now I want to ask about body temperature. Normal body temperature is roughly?
I cannot remember. I actually have to say.
By how many degrees does your body temperature potentially drop?
It doesn't drop a significant amount, but your body temperature will drop enough that you become sleepy.
You become sleepy.
It's not hugely significant.
Now, you mentioned that happens 3 times a day, and we've been talking a bit about shift workers and everything, too. Mm-hmm. So the example you just gave was for the person who works maybe a normal 9 to 5, lunchtime is around 12 or 1, and then they eat at that time, and then they get that lazy feeling again.
Ooh, exactly.
I hear a song coming on that one. What might be the other two time periods?
Well, usually between 2 to 4 a.m. in the morning and between 1 and 3 a.m. in the morning, our melatonin level is at its peak. So that's why you're in your deepest sleep between 1 to 4 o'clock in the morning. And again, with shift workers, typically, I will ask them to incorporate foods that are either going to help them to sleep, because obviously they're going to get home and need to sleep when they should be awake. So something simple, carbs, something that's going to help them to bring their body temperature down again, whereas heavy proteins will raise your body temperature.
So for a shift worker at night, and where we're looking at productivity, would we want them to more eat more of a protein type based
thing? Yeah, you want a heavier protein choice so that it increases their body temperature. Whereas if they're just about to go off shift, that last third of their shift, if they want to incorporate a starchier meal, if they're going to go to bed straight away when they get home, and also never ever go to bed, especially if you're a shift worker, never go to bed hungry, because you will just stay awake. Yeah, you'll just lie in bed.
Karen, if somebody wanted to get a hold of you, what would be your website address and maybe your phone number or email?
My phone number is 204-612-9255. My website is rpefitnessinc.com/ nutrition.com.
Okay.
And you can actually find me through my husband's website of rpefitnessinc.com. And also, I will be working at the Urban Wellness Center 2 days a week.
Okay. And so they can find you there too. Okay. Marnie, I'd actually like to find out how we get in touch with you too. We've been talking about ergonomics with yourself. And how would, if our listeners want to connect with you, how would they do that?
Sure. You can reach us on our website, www.enablingaccess.ca. Alternatively, you can phone 204-475-0433. We've got locations both in Winnipeg and in Brandon.
Yeah, it's are you spread out a little bit more than that, too? I thought
we go throughout Steinville. Manitoba. The way our business model is set up is we're based in Winnipeg, but we have clinicians and therapists that will service all of Manitoba.
Yeah, all of Manitoba. If we were doing like just a little final thought, Marnie, what would be like a final thought for our listeners that you'd like to provide them regarding, I guess, ergonomics?
Yeah, really, it's about knowing the jobs. I think that's where we all have to start, is what are the job tasks that your workers or employees have to do? Know what the ergonomic risk factors are, and then work at solving them. And there's three easy ways to solve them. There's the engineering, that means changing furniture or the environment or the machines. Administrative, changing the way the exposure to those risk factors. And then behavioral. Behavioral is what the worker brings with them and how they actually do that work.
Okay, there's so three different ways to do that. This is Richard Lanner. You're listening for Set for Success. We're going to take a short break and we'll be right back. Hi, it's Richard Lanner for Set for Success, and we've been having a great time talking about what you need to do to be healthy in your organization, I guess in your business, and really it affects your career and then it affects your life. So we sort of like a triple hit here, right? Triple play. We got them all in one shot there. We've been chatting with our expert today in ergonomics, Marnie Courage of Enabling Access, and then Karen Inslee of RPE Fitness Inc. You can check them out on the web. If you Google them, I'm sure their names will show up and everything. So I guess what was the final thought today? I guess final thought would be is, you know what? Let's live healthy lives together, you know, and can we find some way to do that, from our diets to the way we sit to the things that we do within our organization or even in our own home lives? I bet you there's all things we can incorporate. Even one of the thoughts that I got was, you know, when I start working and everything, you know, why can't I put my laptop on my kitchen counter and work from that perspective? So think about that a little bit. Maybe just a few minor little adjustments will make a huge difference to your life and to your health and to your business organization. I want to take this opportunity to thank our guests for joining us, and of course, to thank you very much, audience, for participating and joining us today. This is Richard Lennon. If you want to connect with me, it's just richard@braveworld.ca, or you can go to www.braveworld.ca. Again, thank you for listening, and you make it a great day.